Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. Before we get any further, I just want to mention this episode drops on September 9th on a Friday. If you are in Philadelphia or the Philly area, come to my stand-up special taping at the Helium Comedy Club on Saturday, September 10th, 7:30 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I just wanted to get that out of the way because I'd love for you folks to be there. But now let's get to the meat of what's happening here. I am coming to you with another rerun episode. Kind of some summer lulls here. And, you know, I say that knowing that this episode is not a lull and is worth a revisit. But what I'm saying is it's very hot in Los Angeles and we're taking a little bit of a break. But, you know, I'm here with you right now, so it's not that much of a break anyway. If you follow this podcast, you know we are in the thick of our theme month, Museptemberxcellence. All September long, we will be talking about the musical excellence category. And one of the inductees in this year's class in this category is the band Judas Priest, a band that has been on the ballot three times, and they just decided to put them in. They're not getting any younger, so here we are. And we've done an episode on Judas Priest in the past, on their second time on the ballot, in an episode that was released November 29th, 2019. And it's a good one. Back in the days of recording the podcast in person, we did it with a very knowledgeable metal fan named Bob Nalbandian, who directs the Inside Metal documentaries. So great guest for this one. I think worth a listen. I doubt that you've listened to this one recently. And so what better time to do so now that Judas Priest is finally getting in? And I think you will enjoy it. So give her a listen. And you know what? I promise very soon we will have new episodes for you guys. But there's nothing wrong with a little walk down memory lane, is there? Enjoy. Bob, I want to know about your connection to Judas Priest and kind of what Judas Priest means to you.
You know, it's interesting. When I first heard Judas Priest, I think it was through a friend, his older brother, and he was really into the progressive, we're talking 70s here. Mm-hmm. Well, this was the progressive rock era. And he was big into progressive rock.
You know, we're talking
which
like, yes,
is like
yes,
Rush,
ELP.
No, not know. Rush.
Well,
yes,
well I mean, Rush,
Rush
was
eventually.
Rush was a little on the heavier side, kind of like Judas Priest was of progressive or a band like Budgie. They were kind of on the heavier. But the traditional progressive was, you know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, you know, Genesis, yes.
King Crimson.
King Crimson.
Like
Nectar.
Songs that take, you know,
a
9 minutes.
Songs.
And there's a lot of instrumental.
Yeah, and you could even say, you know, Kansas, Bebop Deluxe, you know, Styx, early Styx, that kind of stuff. Supertramp. But it was more very more melodic. And
right.
But
long
he had
keyboard
a Judas
solos.
Priest record. You know, he had okay. Sad Wings of Destiny. And that's like, wow, Judas Priest. And then I remember I heard when they did the Starwood. And they did a radio interview, believe it or not, on K-Rock, when K-Rock was kind of doing metal back in,
okay,
they would do like a early AC/DC, Bon Scott era.
Yeah, they hadn't the found their back. Alternative identity.
Right,
yet.
They were very small.
Alternative really didn't
They were like
exist.
A real independent station back then. Mm-hmm. And they had, Rob Halford came in on the air and was talking about, you know, it was like a whole, you know, it was one of those impromptu that the artist comes in the studio, they just talk for like 2 hours uh-huh. and play music and all this shit. I'm like, holy shit, this band is
and this was this before they really broke in America?
Yeah, this was when they just put out the Hellbent for Leather record. So I had known I had heard the song Exciter. But the interesting thing about this interview, he was the first person that acknowledged that they were a heavy metal band. Because uh-huh. before that, heavy metal was a term that had very negative connotations. You know, Black Sabbath would never consider themselves metal. Mm-hmm. Motorhead never considered themselves metal. None of these bands were, you know, like Zeppelin hated, you know,
wait,
the term
a negative
metal.
Why?
Because journalists used the term heavy metal as noise. Like these, this band, heavy metal wasn't a brand of music.
It was
music.
Like derogatory.
It was derogatory. It was like, oh, this is just heavy metal, you know.
It was like a way to dismiss something.
Yeah.
Blood. Right. This is a fucking.
It didn't have musical connotations. So bands, even if they weren't progressive, because progressive, you know, I talked about this on a podcast. Progressive back then was considered forward thinking. You know, we want to be a progressive band. That was kind of a compliment.
And now it's
heavy
just
metal
socialism,
was like,
you know?
Kind of, oh, they're just kind of noise. You know,
yeah, they're not moving the needle forward.
Right.
Yeah, so they're just keeping the needle real high.
This was the first time I heard a band actually say and embrace the term heavy metal. Own it. We are heavy metal. Because I think a caller called in. They were taking calls. What kind of music do you describe? You? And he's like, we're heavy metal. And I'm like, yeah, right on. You know, being this young, you know, 11-year-old kid or whatever. Yeah.
Take the term back.
Right. You're like, here we go. I did not know that heavy metal was like a dismissive term. My whole life it's been like, this kicks ass. It's metal, dude. Yeah.
And
know?
Like it's tattooed on my fucking chest. Heavy metal.
Heavy
loud and
metal,
proud.
Metal for life, you know.
So for that reason alone, this band deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Are they British?
Oh, yes. Very.
Okay, British, are they part of the NWOB?
They kind of
pre-British.
Yeah, right?
Do wave of British heavy metal. I
like that
the way
from
she spelled it out.
I learned a lot on the Slayer episode that has stayed with me, which is wild.
You were paying attention.
But to answer your question, priests were prior to that. Although people lump them in.
Yes,
perhaps.
People do say they were kind of the band that really spawned the new wave of British heavy metal, but Priest were actually early 70s.
And you had to, it's later that all
new wave of British heavy metal is generally 79 to 81.
But
at that point, Judas Priest was maybe hitting their commercial peak.
Absolutely.
So you could understand why they would be lumped in with those groups.
Yeah.
But they kind of set the foundation, you could say, for a lot of what those groups ended up doing.
Most so you definitely. Were like, this guy, he's on here, he's owning the term heavy metal. I'm a kid and I think this kicks absolute ass, you know. I can't believe it, this guy rules, and honestly it rocks.
It rules and it rocks.
It rules and it rocks. And they played a whole bunch of Priest. So I'm just in this moment engaging with the term Judas Priest right now, because even just the name Judas Priest, that is, it's a provocative name.
It's a
right?
metal name.
It's a metal
Judas
name.
Priest.
It's a provocative name. I just thinking about when they were first coming out, was that considered, was it a provocative name where people?
I think when they came out, again, that was a little before, because you know their first album Rock-A-Rolla, that was very independent. Even Sad Wings was independent before they got signed with CBS. Columbia. So they really didn't hit big commercially in the U.S. till British Steel came out in 1980,
which was
Breaking the Law. And
Breaking the Law, that's them. My dad was very metal, so I'm sure that I've had some exposure to Judas Priest, you know, whether I like it or not.
Yeah, it was if not in front of you in the background.
Yeah, like definitely. I'm sure that I've heard.
Well,
yeah,
that was their trademark
law.
Metal out. I mean, Hellbent for Leather. You don't get more metal than that. Was when he embraced the whole metal, not just the term and the sound, but the whole look with
the
leather and
the aesthetic.
Okay.
With Hellbent for Leather. And that
started that whole look. Is he gay?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the other thing that's kind of interesting about that turn is kind of before that, they dressed kind of like hippies almost.
Yeah.
Like Rob Halford had very long hair. And then at a certain point, he starts dressing like a...
Like a leather
dominatrix,
daddy?
Yeah, like a leather daddy.
Which is interesting because he got that from the gay community.
Yeah, that's because I'm like the Hellbent for Leather sounds incredibly homoerotic to me.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Well, that's kind of the ironic thing about it is it was based off what the people on Santa Monica Boulevard in San Francisco, they were dressing, you know, with leather and studs and that. Mm-hmm. And he kind of took that look and made it into a metal look.
Yes.
But it was really, inspired from the gay community.
And it's such a testament to how much of a metal god he was, that he could take something that was kind of overtly gay, but he was so fucking metal that he just turned it into being
metal. And people were
metal.
Like, yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
and
fully.
He's like,
and then so many bands aped that look after him. Yeah. And then it just became a it became a metal look, even though he was dressing like one of the village people.
So music-wise, image-wise, everything. I mean, Judas Priest were really the ultimate metal band. I mean, you could go back, obviously, Sabbath with the sound and everything. But again, they never embraced the metal term, whereas Judas Priest is like, hey, we are a heavy metal band. We're going to roll with this. And they kind of stripped the blues. I mean, even, you know, Sabbath, all these other bands really had blues roots, but... You know, Judas Priest was just straight on, balls out.
Yeah.
Heavy metal.
Loud.
Yeah.
I mean, and they are one of the groups that Rob Reiner went to see when he was...
Oh, to make Spinal Tap.
When he was studying for Spinal Tap, yeah.
A lot of bands, they took stuff from Black Sabbath. The Stonehenge thing was based off Sabbath. I heard they toured with Saxon, one of the guys that... worked on the movie, and a lot of the stuff was from Saxon and Uriah Heep, and so a lot of
if you look at
Status Quo, a lot of bands.
You look at Christopher Guest, he kind of looks like Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, from the haircut down. Yeah,
he does have that. Yeah,
I look. Me, I don't know.
but yeah, so you're getting into Judas Priest at a young age, and then that must get exciting because then they get very popular. In America.
Yeah, it took, well, they did the live record after that, which still to this day is one of my favorite live albums, the Unleashed in the East. Amazing album. And they were still a little bit underground. They weren't getting radio play. And it wasn't until the year later, 1980, when British Steel came out.
Yeah.
MTV was just kind of starting to break just after that, you know, came out. So, and I saw them on that tour, on the British Steel tour at Long Beach Arena. So,
was it your first time seeing them?
First time seeing them, yeah.
How was it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah. I mean,
how many times have you seen them total?
Probably about 20.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They're not around still.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They
still
are
touring.
Around still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doing their,
I just assumed everyone on the ballot is
tour.
Dead. So.
So, and they're, I mean, they're celebrating their 50th year.
Holy shit.
1969 was technically when Judas Priest started, but it's a little complicated because everybody who was in that first incarnation of Judas Priest was gone within a year.
This dude knows his history.
Yeah, he does
so
the research.
So it was really K.K. Downing, and I believe Ian Hill,
the
bass player.
But they're not technically founding members, but
they
were there early.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think either K.K. or their... old singer.
Al Atkins.
Al
is his
Atkins.
Name?
There you go. This guy, That came up with the name. But yeah, you know, until they started recording, which was like 74, I think, is when the Rock and Roller came out. That was when they established a lineup, obviously, with
where
Rob
in England
Halford,
are
Glenn
they from?
Birmingham. Yeah. Yes.
Birmingham.
Yeah, and they are another.
I've been there. I did live abroad. I spent a New Year's.
Okay, here we go.
In Birmingham. So, you know, shout out Haley Sharp. Thank you very much for your hospitality that year.
And anyway, Judas Priest is one of those bands that we, not unlike Def Leppard, where it was like you either are working in the factory or you can escape and follow your dreams.
That's it.
I mean, that's a Birmingham. Is very much
it's a very working class
very industrial
town.
I mean, they come from
Black Sabbath,
literal heavy metal, like the just like that sound was surrounding them, just in the sense of people beating hammers onto fucking metal. I mean, it was that was the
metal
sound of their
metal.
Youth, you know. But yeah, they came out of Birmingham, not unlike Black Sabbath.
Speaking of coming out,
unlike
at
Haley.
What point did he come out? Was there like a cultural moment, or was it just always assumed?
I mean, they made a big thing on MTV about it when he left Priest and he did the Two project. I don't know if you remember Two. Speaking of Trent Reznor, he produced, I think he produced most of that record, but Rob Halford kind of went for this industrial sound. And that was during the time, when was that, like, you know, mid 90s. You know, that was when MTV was, you know, getting all into, you know, mixing different genres and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the alternative thing was really kind of big, that industrial thing. And that's when he supposedly came out, but everybody
But everyone knew.
Everyone
knew. It was like an open secret, yeah. But then...
There was a moment.
They tried to make a big deal about it. I mean, some people... you know, didn't know the mainstream people, you know, probably didn't know. I mean, they could see the thing about a cool thing about that. And, you know, this is what I got to say as far as, you know, if you're gay or whatever you are, that's fine. But you people that try to publicize that as a selling point in music,
as a publicity move,
yeah, as a publicity, I just think is stupid. And that was a cool thing about Halford in the past until this, you know, two album came out. I don't know if this was MTV's doing or whatever. They made kind of a big thing about it, but he never came out. I mean, because it was nobody's business,
right?
You know?
But also, you know, I mean, that's we can say that. And we can think that, but we don't know that it was hard that he didn't feel that he had to hide, that he didn't feel he couldn't fully be himself in ways.
Rob Halford was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and he has said that having to hide his identity fueled a lot of that self-destruction. No doubt.
It's
extremely meaningful, regardless of whether or not it's a publicity move or not. But for someone like Rob Halford in a community, the metal community, that is
aggressively straight,
macho,
some might
and
say.
Straight. Yeah.
You know what's funny about that, though? I think a lot of people really shocked a lot of people. I knew somebody that was involved. They did this thing on MTV when he came out,
mm-hmm.
Supposedly came out during the two thing. And it was one of those things where they interview people on the street or after Judas Priest show, and they talk to him. Hey, are you surprised that Rob Halford has come out that he's gay? And the person I knew, I won't say who, but it was somebody that worked closely with MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Their camera guy was involved in mm-hmm. that.
Behind the scenes.
That's behind the scenes. And they said they interviewed a ton of people. And most people said, yeah, I knew about it. So what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to get
but
that.
But they had to get some
of course.
Some extreme
so, of course,
reactions.
There were like a few people, whoa, I didn't know he was gay. Oh, I'm so right. shocked. And they used those. But the majority of people is what I'm saying. In the rock, they try to make mm-hmm. it out like the rock and roll community is like, you know, homophobic and or the metal community mm-hmm. is all this. But nobody cared. And like I said, most people that were big-time Priest fans, they knew.
They knew,
you
yeah.
know. But they, of course, are going to try to make it out like, oh, my God, you know, this, let's make a big
shocking.
Publicity thing about it. Yeah. And shocking. And,
but, I mean, the 90s, I remember it being a big deal for celebrities to be gay.
Yeah.
It
was, oh, absolutely.
It was a huge
yeah.
deal
and
then.
It was so huge it could ruin someone's
yeah,
career.
It, ruin
it was a dangerous
career. It was
thing.
A really, like, a dangerous time for people. I mean, now I think we have... ideally, you know, moved into a place where that is no longer the case.
But
it is.
It
really depends on what genre you're in. You know, like it can really in different genres, it can have different effects. I think
I had seen that apparently the moment that he came out was kind of an offhand comment in an interview, which I thought was very funny. Where one of the questions they asked Rob was like, if you could sleep with anyone, who would it be? And he said, Howie Long.
Yeah.
Who the hell is that?
Howie Long's a football player who you might know from those commercials where he was playing Terry Hatcher's husband, like for Sprint.
What?
Here, I'm going to show you his picture, and I think you might know who I'm talking about. He is also like a commentator
he
for
football,
too.
He was playing Terry Hatcher's husband, or
yeah,
were they
no,
really married?
No.
This is such a weird...
I wonder what Howie Long thought about
that. Oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah.
I've seen him. He just...
He's like on Fox all the time.
Yeah, he's pretty popular.
Fox
yeah.
Sports.
Fox, yeah. No, not Fox News. He's not... Yeah. He's commentating on, you know, Fox Sports.
He looks like a commentator, big time.
But
he's
he was a football player, and that was who Rob Halford said.
That's kind of his casual way. That's cool.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Another notoriously accepting community, football.
Right? Yeah. My God. Football and heavy metal.
I think that's... Well, I think it's cool and good, obviously, to have more people be out and open and good. I think that that's really neat. And it gives people an opportunity to show their acceptance and to show that it does not, you know, have to impact your career negatively.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's great.
Absolutely.
Kicks sure. ass. Hell yeah.
We're...
Go
we're
ahead, Rob. Hey, I'm an ally. Me over here, big time.
My God, who knew? Who had any idea that Kristen...
Now you're a big Judas Priest fan.
Yep. Now I'm a huge Judas. Now I'm a Judas Cardinal. I keep trying to make that happen. Just in conversation with Joe,
it's
and
never
he hates
happen.
It so much.
It's really never going to happen.
He said, we got a really big Judas Priest fan coming on. And I said, oh, you mean a Judas Cardinal? And he didn't like it at all.
Pulled out my noose. Oh. Started getting it around my neck.
And I'm glad it's making that to air. If this gets cut, I will never know because I don't listen to our show. Don't. But I will be sad.
Well, Bob, one of the things that makes the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, fodder for conversation and discussion and argument, and you might even say it makes it a little bit of a sham, is that how can anyone be objective about music?
Well, that's my point exactly. And that's why I say when you call it an institution, if you look at the Hall of Fames, the sports Hall of Fames, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, it's based on merit. How well the athlete performs, and it's based on stats.
You look at numbers, exactly.
You know, baseball, you know, RBIs, home runs, you know, errors, whatever. There's stats for that.
You can
chart
it.
Fumbles, you know, whatever. You know the stats of each person, the touchdown throws, interceptions, whatever.
There's so many metrics to measure greatness.
That's it. There's a measuring point.
And they're objective.
Absolutely.
And it's 100% objective, yeah.
And with this Hall of Fame, for one, how in the hell has Rolling Stone become the godfathers of rock and roll, the judge and jury of rock and roll? And if you look at the history of Rolling Stone, I mean, all the greatest classic rock band from Zeppelin to Sabbath to whatever, they just completely hated in the beginning. This is a magazine that rewrote AC/DC reviews. You probably heard about that, some of the stuff they did.
Revisionist history?
Yes.
Wait, what?
They're changing history.
These
are the people AC/DC? Telling you what rock and roll is. That's my point. It's like, who are... And they will just... I see, now you got me going
got
off,
you fired
Joe.
Up.
You got me
He's
fired
popping.
Up about this. Here it
He's
comes. It's coming out. The point is when... recently, like Motorhead, they're nominated. They nominated the three original
the
main
classic
guys,
lineup.
Classic lineup, which I agree is the classic lineup. Absolutely. Lemmy and Filthy Animal Taylor and Fast Eddie Clark. Now, the other two guys, Phil Campbell and Mickey D, have been in there for 20 years. Now, who is to say they can't be nominated. They're not nominated. They've been in the band 20 years in Motorhead. Yet the bass player from Soundgarden, the original bass player, was in the band for maybe a year, year and a half.
Well,
he gets voted in. But there's no rhyme or reason for some of these decisions.
Yeah, you know, Hiro Yamamoto was there in the beginning and was on a few releases.
Well, he did a couple independent records with Nobody Knew and Loud Love.
By the time they became what they are and a famous band, Hiro had been gone. And yes, they originally did not include Phil Campbell and Mickey D, although they did reverse
Well,
that
because,
decision.
But they won't admit why, because they got a huge, huge backlash. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, they're
What
they're,
are they
a part
saying
of it.
Are their I think they I,
admit they don't give a reason. That's the point. They don't give a reason.
But by putting them in, they're admitting it.
They're
like
admitting
by putting
it.
Them on the list.
And that is a good thing. And also they should put Wurzel in there as well, because he was a big part of Motorhead. But
now,
here's my
what
point.
What about Brian Robertson then? I mean, who's to say who
put
gets
them all
in or not?
In.
If you're
right,
in the
no,
band,
that's it's difficult. You
I
have
mean,
to
Brian
make...
Robertson changed the sound of Motorhead. I mean,
he was there for an album. Although the guys in Motorhead would say that he was a connective tissue from one thing to the next, almost as like a substitute.
But, you know, you get a band in.
Now Joe has.
Yeah, here's
a way
my point
to quantify.
Though. So it's difficult to be objective. How can you even do that? So what I've done, because I'm a nerd, I've come up with a list of categories that I think if you do well in these categories, then you have a decent shot at induction. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we're going to see how Judas Priest stacks up. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. We hope over your break, you realized that maybe... you're wearing something that you wore recently, and at first you're like, that's not good, but then you're like, you know what, I like wearing this, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
Repeat your wardrobe as much as you want. Live the life you want to lead. That's just my personal motto.
You look good in red,
that's
Chris.
Joe. That's Joe's personal motto. I personally hope that over the break you finished that burrito.
All right. Let's talk about Judas Priest. Eligible since the 2000 induction ceremony. Were nominated in 2018 and are nominated again for 2020. So this is their second time on the ballot. They have no Hall connections that I know of. I don't think they've ever shown up to an induction ceremony. They are British. So, you know,
Corridor.
We've found most British artists don't fully give a shit about the Hall of Fame. It's a different thing.
They shouldn't.
It's an it's an American institution for
I
sure.
I like this. I'm here for this. I'm here for this attitude. It's very good.
But they have been, you know, unlike a lot of artists, they've been pretty cool when people have asked them about it in interviews. I think Rob Halford has said, you know, we may not get in now, but we'll probably get in eventually, and that's great, which is the right attitude,
yeah.
I think.
Well, that's what they say. I think a lot of these bands, eventually they're going to get in.
Yeah.
But it's like, It took how many years before Deep Purple got in?
One of the godfathers
of hard rock music.
Long time. And even Sabbath, they were on like 10 ballots or something.
Wait,
crazy,
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, was it that long?
I would have thought Sabbath was a gimme, but that once again might just be my father's influence on my life.
And no, fully. Like if Sabbath was becoming eligible now, they would waltz right in.
Yeah.
But no, it took Sabbath many ballots.
Wow.
They kept being on the ballot and then they did not
get in.
Well,
I think in the beginning they were very anti-hard rock and
yes.
metal. I mean, very much so. And they just really, and it really showed. And it's the snobbiness of, again, of, you know, I don't want to go on a second rant.
Yeah, sure.
About it,
but you,
of
I
the
mean,
Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
And I mean, you look at the history of their magazine and they were always anti-hard rock and metal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and to this day, you know, it reflects on the Hall of Fame.
Although
but,
in the
know,
last few years, it really has turned it's made it
well again. They've got no
that.
Other. Who else do they have to choose from? That's been around 25 years. I mean, there's Kraftwerk. I mean, what kind of an impact has Kraftwerk made?
Whoa,
okay,
all right. He's over here saying someday they're going to have put EDM in, and it's
here's,
like
yeah,
well,
Kraftwerk.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? I'll be on record as saying I think Kraftwerk might be the most influential group that's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? I guess they did start the whole techno thing.
Yeah,
electronic music.
But then
all
again,
goes back to
they
Kraftwerk.
Were influential. In Germany, in the States, what they had one hit, maybe
Even
one.
Even if you
MTV.
Don't like what they,
who,
did,
I mean,
they
how
did
many people
something.
Know? How much of an influence have they made on the States? How many people?
Ooh, I mean, I think if you do,
I mean, over Scorpions.
If you,
I mean, come on,
Scorpions.
If you do electronic
what
music,
what a wild one to be like Scorpions over Kraftwerk.
Well, they're German. I'm saying if you're going to talk German bands.
And we do love to talk German bands here.
That's a big swing there, my man.
Anyway, let's get into these categories, okay?
Yeah, all right.
First up, we have critical acclaim, which we've covered a little bit so far. The critics have not always been kind to heavy metal.
I wanted to say this about heavy metal, how you were saying, you know, Rolling Stone is like, they're anti-heavy metal and stuff. May I say, though, in some ways... And who's to say chicken or egg about it, but it has also helped heavy metal thrive as an identity.
Bingo.
As like an alternative.
That's my point.
Identity.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, they don't want
they don't
us.
Get
the
it.
Mainstream press
exactly.
doesn't like us, and that makes people feel
And let me
cool.
make a point. I'm not upset at all with Rolling Stone or them for doing the Hall of Fame. Hey, they got the trademark or whatever it is to have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to do the rock. Let it, it's their organization, but dude, I'm pissed off at all the people that are so pissed off complaining about it, about heavy metal not being in. Don't acknowledge it. That's my point. That's why I usually, I mean, here I am on your podcast, so obviously acknowledging it. But
whoops.
How could I turn down Joe's podcast? Come on.
True.
But I'm making the point, and I'm not just going to bitch and complain, oh, heavy metal, they're not heavy metal. I'm giving the reasons why, and I'm telling you why this is a sham. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to understand why there's a difference between sports Hall of Fames and this so-called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you got this one company, a magazine, who is judge and jury on what is rock and roll. And again, there's no rule book. There's no guideline. It's whatever they decide to do. And mm-hmm. they'll try to make it like there's a guideline. Oh, well, they had to be on a record. You know, always after something comes out, they'll try to justify it. Yeah. Well, it's because they weren't on the... Well, it's
and
because
really,
this
is maybe
this.
More frustrating well, is that the hall generally does not say at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. They never give a rhyme or reason about
no
it.
There's no criteria for induction.
It's their opinion.
And, you know, there's it's a little bit democratic because there are, you know, there's a nominating committee and they have to all agree on the ballot. And then there's a voting committee and they all vote for the ones they want on the ballot. So there's an illusion of democracy. And there is, I mean, that's technically democracy, but then you have to get into who's voting, right? It's not, these aren't open elections, you know. There is a vote online, but
you know,
that
use your illusion
comprises...
of Chinese democracy. Thank you. I
right.
can't be stopped.
So Judas Priest is not an artist that I would say has a great amount of critical acclaim. I wouldn't say that they're critical darlings, but I would say, true. In a sense, a revisionist sense, if you are to talk about that genre, and Rolling Stone has done lists about heavy metal, Judas Priest is always towards the top.
You know,
their records
and Judas
are always...
Priest, if they get in, if when they get in, they're going to go back and pull an AC/DC and just revise all their reviews
wipe,
and be like,
wipe
we
the
loved
yeah,
them
see?
From the start.
She knows.
I didn't know that about the AC/DC yeah. thing, that they went back and they were like, you know what? We love Highway to Hell.
Exactly.
Like, one thing yeah. they do, Rolling Stone does do, is they'll put out like album guides and stuff, and then they will kind of have new reviews.
Those are
guys,
I will say the new reviews that they have in the online stuff, I'm not ragging on the journalists. Of course, they're going to get good journalists now to do stuff. But, you know, you go back to the history of Rolling Stone when it started.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's you know, an elitist, in San Francisco, yeah. Lester Bangs, all that. When they were, I mean, they were very
they
snobby.
They were sending 13-year-old
anti-
kids out on the road.
Yeah.
they with Stillwater.
Yeah. And they were nerdy guys then. It was just until
they
whatever
were.
Was, you know.
Absolutely.
It hasn't changed.
Really. I mean, you're not wrong. Let's go to the next category, which is classic albums. And we've talked a little bit about British Steel, I think, is probably the definitive classic album.
Oh, my gosh.
Judas Priest.
And they're from like a steel town. And that mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense there now. I'm understanding
putting it together.
Some of these things.
I'm telling you, she's right. becoming a hardcore Judas Priest fan.
Cardinal.
By the minute.
A cardinal.
Cardinal.
And when that album came out, the price of it was pretty low. So it was also a British Steel.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know I love wordplay. All right, Judas, now, I've got back. All right.
Now, I mean, I don't think we've done an episode where we've talked about Rolling Stone as a magazine this much before we get to this question.
Wild.
But, I mean, do you guys think that Judas Priest has an album on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums list?
If they do, it would be... British Steel, yeah?
Yeah.
Either that or I'd say Screaming for Vengeance, which was...
If they do, I think it would be British Steel. And if it is on there, it is in like... It's like 458.
Why don't you guys tell me yes or no? Give me your definitive... Do you think there's a Judas Priest list on the 500 Greatest Albums for Rolling Stone?
Yeah, I do. I think I would agree with her. It's probably in the 400...
I think British Steel is on there. Oh, gosh. I could be wrong, though. Oh, God.
After all this, after all that Bob has said, no, of course they're not.
They're
on the
not.
List.
They're not.
No, yeah. No.
I thought they might have snuck in at the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I thought they might have, you know, been like, because I bet AC/DC has an album on it.
You have two.
Yeah. See, there you go.
But they were rewritten.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. In the 2012 version, not the 2005
version. Yeah, they had to rewrite the
list.
Version
or whatever.
Of course. But no, it doesn't surprise me. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Right. No, you should have followed your heart.
I should have.
All right. Let's talk about iconic, recognizable songs. Which
so we've got Highway to Hell, we got TNT.
Are we talking AC/DC or?
All right, so I would say if you are just a casual music listener, person who listens to rock radio, you know three Judas Priest songs.
Breaking the Law.
Breaking the Law.
Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law.
Living After Midnight is also from British Steel.
Right.
Third song that you might know, you probably know, maybe their biggest hit in America, You Got Another Thing Coming.
Go,
And then beyond that, you know, then there's like kind of a drop down in terms of like what you'll hear on the radio, what you might hear just wherever. I do think Hellbent for Leather is like an important song for them because it explains what they are, you know, even what they look like.
Hellbent, Hellbent for Leather. Hellbent, Hellbent for Leather.
A lot of Judas Priest songs, the trademark is Rob Halford's operatic range.
Yeah.
Is that he can growl really low and then hit falsetto highs.
Whiskey woman, don't you know that you are driving me insane?
Which is a style of singing that a lot of people after him in that genre.
Yeah,
apes.
That's like the kind of ultimate metal singer is what you're looking for, is someone who can do all of that.
And he's kind of the guy who set that template.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of along with Dio. And some others.
You could say Freddie Mercury too, as well, or the operatic.
Yeah, voice, but and it's like with Halford, the Leather Daddy vibe.
Yeah. And that's Rob Halford's hero, and he kind of took the Freddie Mercury thing and made it super
metal,
fucking metal.
Yeah,
I would say if we're thinking of other kind of classic important Judas Priest songs, maybe I'd throw in Electric Eye. I think that's kind of it when it comes to songs that everyone would know by Judas Priest.
Yeah, they didn't have a ton of hit songs. They weren't a radio band.
A lot more. I mean, it also is because of my life experience that I am familiar with them, but like that's a fair amount.
It's a good showing for this genre. Usually when we talk about metal bands, it's like
I'm like Slayer, I can name zero songs. Mm-hmm.
Motorhead
still.
You can name one. Like
what was the Motorhead song?
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
Right. Yeah, see?
We just did that one a few weeks ago. I have no idea.
The next category though is one that's a great one for Judas Priest, which is commercial success. They had a run of albums that were, I mean, they've sold probably 50 million albums worldwide.
I would say at least.
Extremely popular. And from Sin After Sin, which is 1977, through 1990, every one of their albums was at least gold, and several of them went platinum in the United States. And this is, it's almost a dozen albums.
Wow.
That went gold or platinum. In America.
Good for them. And you said they're
very
still
consistent.
Touring?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're still going.
They're in their 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not old. All like Glenn Tipton isn't able to tour. He's got Parkinson's.
As of very recently.
It's really just
a shame.
The, if you want to talk original guys, I mean, well, the main lineup is really Rob Halford and Ian Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They got another second guitar player.
They've got a new drummer, I'm sure, right?
Well,
same drummer since 1990.
Yeah, he's been with them for like 30 years. But they still call him the new guy.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah. But yeah, the main, because KK Downing and Glenn Tipton were like the dual guitar attack. They were, along with Thin Lizzy, like one of the groups that kind of defined heavy metal being two guitars, you know, playing at once.
And Rob Halford is out there strutting. He's not playing
he's
anything.
He's not playing anything. He is vamping and
he's strutting.
Being
he's
carried into the sky. Like they would do a lot
giant
of
cape.
Like crazy stage production.
But they don't have like an Eddie. They don't have like
No, they don't have a mascot.
But they always put on a great live show. And that's the other thing is consistency as a live band. I don't think you've got a more consistent live band that have done well arena wise. I mean, there was a time when they had Ripper Owens in the band when Rob Halford left, where they were doing like the House of Blues and that kind of thing.
Which was
a couple years.
That's an interesting story. The movie Rockstar is lightly based on that story, the Mark Wahlberg movie.
I'm like, what movie? I'm like, I do not know what Rockstar is.
The Mark Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston.
N-O.
It was a dumb movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty forgettable movie.
Lame
but
movie.
Rob Halford left Judas Priest. And they wanted
to come out and do an album
we
with
We wanted to go solo, basically.
Yeah, when we're talking about the band, too. With
Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
So he left, but the band wanted to continue. And they were like, how are we going to do this? And they found out about this tribute band and this dude from Akron, Ohio, who could sing exactly like Rob Halford.
This is like fucking Journey.
A little bit.
Well, Journey take after that.
A lot. Yeah, but this was way before.
Wow. I mean, Foreigner with Kelly Hansen. All these bands are getting replica singers, but Judas Priest were kind of the first band that really initiated.
They started it. This was pre-YouTube too, so they were.
Yeah.
And they just found this dude, American Judas Priest mega fan. And then
Judas Priest cover band, yeah, he was in.
I think the band was called British Steel.
What was their name?
And then he joined the band and then recorded new music with them for two albums. Yeah. But then, as soon as Rob was like, "I want to come back," they were like, "All right, bye."
Oh my gosh!
Which, if you're a fan, it must be so difficult because like a dream you never thought you could achieve. You're a huge fan of this band. You become their lead singer. But then another dream of yours is for your band to reunite, which means you have to leave.
Well, I think a lot of guys think they could go solo and be... I mean, Bruce Dickinson did the same thing when he left Iron Maiden and did like, you know, two or three solo records. And he ended up coming back. You know,
he's
like, hey, this ain't working for us. And Maiden's kind of like, well, this isn't working for us either with Blaze Bailey. And I think Priest said the same. And no disrespect to Ripper Owens. He's a great singer. But those albums just were not nearly as good.
Name especially is Demolition. Ripper Owens.
Well, Ripper is a nickname based on a Judas Priest song.
This guy is a fan.
Ripper. Ah.
So he went
the Ripper. Tim Owens. Tim Ripper Tim. Owens.
Ripper.
Ripper.
The Ripper.
Ripper. That's such a classic song. That's such a fucking cool...
It's about Jack the Ripper.
Ripper.
It is. Worth noting is that there was a long and exhausting trial after two kids had a suicide pact, and then their families sued Judas Priest, claiming
that... Do they have a song called Suicide Pact?
No.
Okay.
Do they
have a song that says, get together with your friend?
No, it's one of those backward masking...
So they knew I was reading that the plaintiff knew that under freedom of speech, freedom of expression, they couldn't have a case based on the lyrics. But what they had to look for was subliminal messaging, and that in one of their songs, they found that a voice was going, do it, do it. And that was the foundation for.
I mean,
case.
That could be anything,
truly.
Though. It?
Or was it? Doesn't even...
Do
you
it?
Here.
Yeah. Nike could get sued. I'm just like, I don't... Yeah. What is the...
I know. I think
it was absolutely ridiculous. But that's how stupid... You know, this is during the whole PMRC, or it's not been just prior to the PMRC, but this was how seriously... I mean, it's funny because you listen to lyrics now, especially, you know, within, you know, a rap and hip hop, you know, the stuff that's said now. But the stuff that was... said back in the 80s, they took so literally and so seriously. It was a joke,
and it was from a song that was a cover.
Yeah, it was better
by you, better than me, which was from the English rock band Spooky Tooth.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Spooky Tooth. Oh, I didn't know. I just looked this up right now. It was composed by Gary Wright, who you might know.
He was in Spooky Tooth, I think.
I believe you can be a spooky tooth.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. It was a cover song. It wasn't even their own song.
Right.
Spooky Tooth. That is not a real... Oh, Spooky Tooth.
Yeah.
That is such a good... That's such a silly, 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 silly name. I love it with my heart and soul.
The idea that Judas Priest would cover... Tooth. Like, Spooky Tooth is the name of a pumpkin.
Spooky Tooth
is a jack-o'-lantern.
Spooky Tooth is definitely a jack-o'-lantern, or it's like
they
one of those
silly
Halloween ghosts. They did quite
a few cool covers. They did Green Man Alishi, which was a Fleetwood Mac cover.
Early Peter Green blues era Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. You saw the Green Man Alishi with a two-pronged crown. All my trying is up, all your bringing is down. They did a Joan Baez cover, Diamonds and Rust.
Yeah.
A little ghost with a single tooth.
Mm-hmm. Hi there. Hi.
Oh, hello.
My name's Spooky Tooth.
Spooky Tooth.
You want to be my friend?
Oh my gosh. Sorry. Okay.
Anyway, as you can imagine.
Wait, so was it saying do it when you play it backwards or just
it was,
underneath?
It was forward. Yeah,
it was forwards, was just very like.
Do
but
it.
You can't hear it.
Very,
just like,
very clearly not being said. It's one of those you have to listen for
and
you're like, are they?
They were just saying do it. They weren't saying anything else.
Do
they
it. Kill your friend.
Go join us.
It was stupid.
With your
that's the kind of things that they did back
insane.
Then.
Yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
It.
I mean, AC/DC got when the whole Night Prowler thing the Night Stalker. They tried, you know, they caught the guy who was wearing an AC/DC hat, so they're saying the song Night Prowler was based on the Night Stalker, and that's where he got, because he cited those lyrics. And they tried to blame AC/DC for the, you know, the...
You know, and a lot of killers have worn jeans. And I'm just like, we need to be suing Levi's.
That's how stupid it is.
Yeah. So obviously it was, Judas Priest won.
Yeah. I'm like, obviously.
It was a long...
But it was a long trial.
Trial, yeah. That was...
And it got a lot of media attention. Yeah. Cost them a lot of money.
They did a movie, a documentary.
Were there other... Because that was a lot of metal bands were getting sued at this time, right? That was part of the Satanic Panic? Or was
Were
there...
Yeah.
There were hearings in Congress, right?
Well, Ozzy got several, you know...
Right, I know you're talking... Because I there's that thing where Dee Snider and Frank Zappa...
PMRC.
Yeah, that was the Tipper Gore shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was the era of music makes you do bad things.
So wild.
And that a jury had to be like, no, not, we don't think so.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next category, which is, and we've touched on it because it's impressive, longevity.
Longevity.
Mm. Yeah.
They're still out there. I can't believe that.
50
go ahead,
years.
Judas.
50 year tour.
I mean, you're right. I mean, they formed in 69. First album was 74. Really started to hit their stride in the late 70s and then were making huge albums pretty much up until Painkiller, 1990, was their last gold album in the U.S. But they still tour and they're still making it happen. Yeah. They've had a long career and can still kick ass.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And they'll still play, you know, sold out arenas.
What stand-up comedian is opening for them now?
It's got to be Jim Brewer. So next category is innovation influence. They set the template for a lot of the 80s heavy metal and for what the new wave of British heavy metal was, whether it's Rob Halford's operatic range or KK Downing and Glenn Tipton's dual guitar attack, or even, you know, going to the kind of double bass drum style was also kind of a hallmark of heavy metal. I think they were
important.
You talk to any heavy metal band and Judas is among.
Well, like I said, they embraced the term heavy metal, the first band to actually embrace that term as we are a heavy metal band. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think hugely influential. Now the last category, maybe the most important category, does my mom know who they are?
I don't even have to text. My mom definitely knows who they are.
My mom said yes as well. She knows.
Yeah.
And that kind of speaks to cultural saturation, right? Okay, you can say all these things about a band. They're great. They did this. They're influential. But if you tend to look at who gets inducted, it's usually bands that are big enough that they make it to everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the MC5 does not have this category on lock.
Right.
That's like, probably true.
Kraftwerk does
not have this category on lock.
But Judas Priest
definitely does.
Absolutely does.
Did one of Beavis or Butthead wear a Judas Priest shirt?
No, AC/DC and Metallica.
AC/DC. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I bet sometimes they went out in a hat that said Judas Priest.
Hey, I'm not signing off on that. But yeah, I think Judas
Stewart
Priest
wore a Winger shirt.
All right, it's time for...
Winger.
It's time for the verdict. Should Judas Priest get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Will they? If so, when? And will it be this year? We'll start with Kristen.
Okay, they should. They absolutely are going to. It really could be this year. To me, they are the most likely of the heavy bands because of the how popular they, like, how known they are. Like, I think many people have heard of Thin Lizzy, but I think more people have heard of Judas Priest. You know, for example, I think same with even Motorhead. I think Judas Priest is, it's also one of those bands that a lot of people say, wait, they're not in too.
Yeah.
You know, I think they could get in this year. I think if they didn't have to split lanes with all the other heavy bands, I think if everyone just consolidated the hard rock vote behind Judas Priest, this could be their year. So I think it could happen this year.
Okay.
Wow. Really good opinion.
Informed.
Pretty
great.
Good job.
All right, Bob, what do you think?
Well, definitely. I mean, they absolutely should get in. Whether it be this year, I hope so. I mean, you know, for their own, for the sake of their fans and for the band. I don't know if it'll be this year
also,
or next
they're not
year.
Dead yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many bands on here.
I think
they
will get this year because I think they are on their last. That's kind of the gimmick that Rolling Stone likes to do is give it to, you know, like they gave it to Deep Purple after John Lord passed away. They keep mm-hmm. it, they, you know, they'll wait till the very end. And I think this is kind of the end of Judas Priest. This is, you know, basically, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, there's two mainstay guys that are still on the band. I hope they get it this year. You know, like I said, for the, you know, for the sake of the fans and for the sake of the band. I mean, of course, the bands, you know, it's a big thing for them to be in the Hall of Fame, obviously.
Without a doubt. And that's kind of, at the end of the day, yeah. why it's ultimately important, is that it is meaningful. You see it, even on the bands that are the most skeptical, mm-hmm. when they get inducted, you can see that it means a lot to them. And it's a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
From and it puts them in a category with their heroes.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think a lot of them say, our fans, we're doing it for our fans. Our right. fans will. Because a lot of the fans are very, you know, they're the ones complaining. They're the ones bitching on all the news sites. About mm-hmm. this
they're the ones
that.
Voting, too, on
How
the
online. How are they
online.
Doing in the online?
They're in the top five.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're in
are
the top
Are they
five.
Number five?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. What do I think the top five is? Pat Benatar, mm-hmm. Dave Matthews. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, what else?
Motorhead?
Motorhead? No. Who Priest. Else? Doobies. And... Priest
and then a later
Soundgarden. Yeah. Yep.
That's
yeah.
the current top five. And I unlikely to change.
Yeah, I mean they might all be moving around in position, but the top five seems pretty solidified.
I think so. Yeah.
Who's in first right now?
Dave by quite a margin.
Really?
Good
because
God.
they have a very active
Well, they're
fan
Rolling
base.
Stone darlings too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What it is it's they are actively getting their fan base, which is a rabid fan base, to yeah. vote every day, yeah, multiple yeah. times a day. That's really what it comes down to.
I heard that P. Diddy tweeted about
Biggie.
Voting for Biggie, but he didn't
he
include
forgot
a
to put
link.
The link.
It's like, yeah. come on, dude.
Whoops. All right, here's my
the guy
verdict.
Guy's not here to advocate for himself.
Here's vote or die. Here's my... here's my verdict. I think Judas Priest absolutely should... a band that's been around for so long, were so influential, especially like, I feel like if you really want to induct more heavy metal artists, it has to start with Priest. Like it, you can't, anyone else you would consider Priest just makes sense to come first. If you want to break down that door. Now, I do think there's going to be vote splitting. I think there are going to be people who Judas Priest appeals to them, but also so does Motorhead. Mm-hmm. And then so does Thin Lizzy. And then even Soundgarden and T-Rex.
Nine Inch Nails.
I just think it's such a heavy
yeah.
rock
that is true.
Ballot that I don't think it's going to be... I think all the bands that are in that category, it's going to be a tough
They're
road for them for this year.
Splitting them all, and it's going to clear the way for my dream ballot to come true.
I mean, maybe. But so I don't... I don't think my prediction is not, it's not going to happen this year, but I do think it's going to happen very soon. I think maybe it'll happen in the next 5 years. Maybe next year they will try to clear the lane a little bit the way they do with other artists.
Who do you think of the heavy bands is going to get the most support? What do you think is going to happen?
I weirdly think Soundgarden has a good shot just yeah. because. Out of the Chris Cornell sympathy,
because it's Rolling Stone,
and I mean it's the combination. It's yeah. so it's like a Venn diagram of you get the heavy, but then you also get the grunge critical acclaim. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there are possibility, but I don't think it's going to be a very hard class. I think the class is going to end up being not as hard as you would think.
Get my Whitney.
So let's say Judas Priest gets inducted this year, though. We know which band members they've included on the official list, and I would assume you would agree with this. Obviously, it's the ones you would expect. Rob Halford, KK Downing, Glenn Tipton, Ian Hill, Dave Holland, who has passed away.
Right.
But they also included Scott Travis, the current drummer, and they also included Les Binks, who was on yeah. a few albums right before they broke.
They did that right, yeah.
I think in there's no other argument for anybody else you would put in there. All the other drummers were maybe there for one album. Yeah.
Simon Phillips was kind of a session player. Who did right. Sin After Sin. But and Les Binks, I'm surprised. I'm glad they.
Yeah, that was a good move
yeah,
on the Hall's part. Absolutely. Now, here's a question. Who gives the speech to induct Judas Priest at the ceremony?
Hmm.
I would think any of the dudes from Metallica.
Metallica
could
guys
do it.
Is what I would... say.
They did Deep Purple. They did a couple bands.
Oh yeah, I mean those dudes show up. I mean they played at the when Black Sabbath was inducted.
Right, right.
Lars inducted Deep Purple.
So you would think they'd want to kind of do a change up a bit, but
except the Deep. I mean, Deep Purple was four years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think Tom Morello would make sense. He's a metal guy.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, anyone who, it's just the question is like, who is famous enough and also a metal person?
Right.
Yeah.
And you hip know. Enough to the Rolling Stone crowd.
Right.
Wow. It is.
That's what it's all about.
I
hey,
like it. It's also just hilarious not, to me to think about. Of Rolling Stone being hip at all.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm trying to think, like, is Scott Ian enough? Probably.
He's
probably
from Anthrax.
Yeah.
He's the guy from Anthrax with the beard, the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Very good. But yeah, it always feels, I mean, it feels like we say this every time, but like Dave Grohl could probably give a speech for anybody who's inducted.
Yeah, Grohl is kind of, he's the pinch inductor. You can really get him
I
in there.
I can see him for Motorhead maybe. But
yeah, he of seems he's more a, of a Thin Lizzy
again,
Motorhead
he's
guy.
A Rolling Stone darling, so they'll get him in any chance they
yeah,
can.
He's,
yeah, well, he's on the nominating committee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's Tom Morello.
Yes, right.
And so. I think Morello would be a good one. I think that would be kind of a pretty cool choice for them to make if Priest got into to have Morello do it would be good.
I think so too.
I think he'd do a good job too. I think the Metallica guys are a little expected. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it would kind of be a cool thing if it was.
Yeah, or I don't know, Henry Rollins maybe. I'm just trying to think of.
Is he a big Priest fan?
Yeah, he is. He was. I was watching a little documentary about them, and he showed up. I was like, "Oh, that's interesting."
And yeah, he's such a. I mean, not a person. He is someone who's just. He's more famous than he is known for.
I can see him on Thin Lizzy because you know, I know he's been
that's
pretty
true.
Outspoken about Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is, there's a lot of overlap of like. It seems like anyone
Again,
who
this
could
is the heavy bands because
Metallica,
this year,
Metallica could
the way
induct
for Whitney.
Thin Lizzy. They could induct sure. Motorhead. They could induct Judas.
I guess yeah.
It feels like a lot of overlap.
I think, like you said, if any band out of the hard rock bands get nominated or get. Inducted this year, I think it'd be Judas Priest over Motorhead or Thin Lizzy, since it's their second time and you know I think
and
they
are
that advantage and they are the more known band,
more formative for the genre.
That's I just think if there was just some sort of campaign, if people would coordinate their votes, you know,
they could
pick one or two to just throw all their weight behind. That then you could have two hard rock bands get in this year, but if it's going to be all over the place, you're going to wind up with Soundgarden.
But you know, think of it: if this stupid Hall of Fame thing lasts for the next 20 years, pretty much everyone's going to get it.
Yeah,
most.
I mean, if you look at, I mean, it's just a matter they'll just drag it on and drag it on. So most of these bands, after they're dead and gone, I mean, you know, will UFO ever get in?
No.
Will all these bands?
Who is UFO?
UFO won't get in.
Come on. Dude, Michael Schenker, one of the most influential guitar players in
the hell is
heavy
UFO?
Rock music.
I demand an
answer. UFO will just because they
but
are
like,
not as known. But I mean
you
like,
talk about 10 years from
you
now.
You put in UFO,
years.
You got to put in Spooky Tooth.
They might get in too. I mean, I'm just saying, if it goes
you put
for
in
another
Hawk
20
wind,
years.
You put in
Hawkwind, sure. That's right.
What if they're inducted, what would be a good... four song set for them to play at the induction ceremony?
It'll probably be the hit songs.
Yeah, it would probably be You Got Nothing Coming, Breaking the Law, Living After Midnight.
Maybe Hellbent for Leather.
Maybe Hellbent for Leather seems good. Yeah. They
Hellbent
do like
for Leather is the jam.
Yeah, they'll do
and
the
all
jam.
All the bands
exactly.
come out in leather. They all strut around. They all do a little bit of a strut. It's very cool. There's
they'll do the one
16
typical
guitars.
Heavy song and the three commercial radio hits.
And then there's 16 guitars, actually. Everyone is playing guitars.
It doesn't matter if you know how to play guitar.
It doesn't matter if you know how to play guitar. Or not. Everyone is playing guitar. They are wearing leather. A lot of cool leather daddy motorcycle hats.
All the guitars are connected via a leather strap.
Big time, baby.
And ball gags.
I think Kristen should be the coordinator.
I have a lot of vision for how the jam could go.
Wow.
I have a lot of vision for what could really amp up the ceremony for me personally.
You are the jam master.
I would love to be put in charge of the So yeah. It would be great.
This is good for you, Bob. If you want the Hall of Fame to crash and burn, you just get Kristen to coordinate the jam.
Hey, man, I'm out here. People would be loving it so much. So
meanwhile, Kristen thinks it's going to be great, but you're really producer-zing it, knowing that it'll fail. But maybe,
no way,
like the producers.
I'm up here. Exactly. Yeah. It is like the producers. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. I'd be great at it. But what's wild is, so everyone's playing guitars, they're dressed as leather daddies.
I can't believe we're not done with this.
But they're singing "I Will Always Love You."
Oh my God.
It fucking rules.
Good Lord.
Doesn't get any more metal than that, I'll tell you.
It's great. Oh, it's a metal cover of "I Will Always Love You."
Chris Cornell.
Into "I'm Every Woman."
Chris Cornell has covered
"I Will Always Love You." And then into a Spooky Tooth song.
Spooky Tooth. Man.
Spooky Tooth. All right. If Judas Priest got in, I know how you feel about the Hall, but if that would be a righting of a wrong in your eyes, if Judas Priest was inducted, wouldn't you say? Would you go to the induction ceremony to see Judas Priest
pay $10,000?
Well, we go every year and we just get the tickets, the $70 tickets or like the $50 tickets.
I like, my favorite thing was when Steve Miller got
He went off. He popped off.
He rightfully should go off. I mean, his own bandmates, they want to charge $10,000 again. That's why I'm saying
to sit on the floor. Now, we don't sit on the floor.
We don't sit on the floor.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. I mean, if they paid me to go, I would go. If they paid for my ticket, my flight, and a hotel, I would consider.
You know what I like? I think that it's very rare to have someone on the show who hates the Hall, and I think it's great.
It's important to have different perspectives.
I love it. I am so here for it because I'm now ingrained. I've been,
Stockholm syndrome.
I've slowly, the water started to boil around me just 1 degree at a time, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, that you're fully cooked.
Yep, I'm a fully cooked frog. How did this happen to me?
Well, when they get inducted, Kristen and I will be at the ceremony, and then we'll send you pictures.
We'll send you pictures. Yeah, that's good enough. As long as I get the pictures.
Give you a video maybe here and there. Well, Bob, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it was a pleasure. A lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it.
Really,
And I want to give you the opportunity to plug your own shit, whether it's social media or, you have movies that you've directed
podcasts.
And where people can find them and your podcast.
Well, the Inside Metal, the new movie is going to be titled Bay Area Godfathers, and it's going to be the fourth Inside Metal title, and it will be out in early 2020. It's on the San Francisco Bay Area hard rock and metal scene of the 80s. Got a lot of great interviews. It will also be a two-part movie like all the other previous three titles, and it will be available on most of the digital outlets, Amazon and Apple Music, Google Play, all the and probably end up on Pluto and a few of the other formats, but definitely look for that. And the podcast we do is called the Shockwave Skull Sessions, and you could go on that to shockwaveskullsessions.com, and it's also available on Spreaker, Spotify, Apple Music, all the podcast directories, I believe iHeart and so on and so forth. So definitely check it out. It's a
great,
it's a fun podcast. Not as cool as Joe's podcast here, but hey, we're trying.
It's up to you. Take a listen
to
it.
It's a skull crusher.
Report back to us.
Skull sessions.
Well, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at RockHallPod. You can email us rockhallpod@gmail.com. If you want Kristen to see that message, you're going to have to say that somewhere in the message. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, rate and review us 5 stars only. If you're leaving a review because of this episode, obviously
spooky,
say Spooky
Tooth. It's gotta be Spooky Tooth.
Say Spooky Tooth
also,
somewhere.
Also, if in your review you want to describe what you think Spooky Tooth looks like,
I would be
very curious to know.
We've been doing this, if you're leaving a review, because for a while, and literally no one ever does it.
It's never happened.
No one has ever done it.
What's nice, we've noticed. Have you ever noticed?
I've noticed maybe one. One person said Del the Funky Homo Sapiens.
Nice.
But that's the only one I've seen. We've gotten a lot of very nice, sincere reviews. But
that's
cool.
We've
Spooky Tooth in there. I think we would like to see it. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo, Yusu Kim for the music, thank you to Joy Divine for the equipment, and thank you to Chad Priggs, Dave Schilling for letting us record in the house that I share with them, and thank you to Pantheon Podcast for hosting us. Thank you again, Bob. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Suburbs.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?